My name is John Shepherd. I'm a mathematician. A Stargate Atlantis MathNet crossover by Things with Wings. The story you are about to hear is a fib, but it's short. The names are made up, but the problems are real. It was Tuesday, 9:56 a.m. Atlantis Standard Time. The traffic in L.A. was so heavy, people were actually driving backwards on the freeway. Lucky for me, I live in the Pegasus Galaxy. I was working the Atlantis Day Watch as a MathNet liaison, ready to step through the gate and serve justice once again. The boss is Sam Carter. The team is SGA-1. My name is John Shepherd. I'm a math mut. Who the hell are you talking to? Rodney interrupts, exasperated. Shepherd looks up from where he was tucking his calculator into his shoulder holster. He doesn't say anything, just looks surprised and hurt. But Zelenka, who's standing at the Atlantis DHD, does speak up. Rodney, he hisses. He's MathNet. Yeah, Radic, that still means nothing to me, Rodney calls back. Shepherd claps Rodney on the shoulder and gives him a winning smile. Rodney refuses to be won. I'm sure you'll like me once you get to know me, pard, he says. Flashback courtesy earlier scenes. I'd heard rumors like everyone else, but I didn't know it was an actual possibility, Sam says, low-voiced and reverent. Rodney, interested, walks over to where she's standing with Radic, Ambrose, and Kusanagi. What's a possibility? He asks. Kusanagi beams. MathNet, she says. Rodney waits for her to say more words, but she doesn't. MathNet? What the hell is MathNet? All four of them take a little shuffling step away from Rodney, as if he's just told them that he has a rare but highly contagious disease involving pus and seepage. You do not know MathNet? Radic asks finally, half laughing nervously. No, Rodney answers sarcastically. Isn't that what I just said? Is it some sort of government think tank? A society associated with the university? A privately funded research organization? Sam shakes her head. It's MathNet. They're just MathNet. Ambrose sighs dreamily. Rodney scowls at him. Rodney, MathNet has decided that the Atlantis expedition has become important enough to raid a liaison from their group, Sam says. Rodney waits to hear more, unimpressed. They have people here from Misery, from Dymax, from every major research institution in the world. The silence stretches out. I can't believe we're getting someone from MathNet, Ambrose says, turning away from Rodney and back to the other three. Sam quirks an eyebrow in agreement. I hear he's good-looking, too, she says, a little half-smile playing on her face. And so, as you can see, the tiles progressed in Fibonacci sequence, with each tile representing the next number in the series, Shepherd explains, pointing slowly at each set of tiles as he lists them off. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5. Rodney indulges in an elaborate fantasy. In it, Rodney has his hands around Shepherd's neck while Shepherd turns entertaining shades of red, blue, and purple. Taylor nods, taking up the thread of the presentation. The lizard bird who recited these numbers led us to suspect that this infinite series was important, but we did not recognize it at first, due to the method with which the tiling system represented numbers in base 8 with a remainder. It was John who figured it out. Shepherd offers that aw shucks smile of his. Rodney's not sure, but he thinks he hears Dr. Colonel Samantha fucking Carter sigh from across the conference room. Rodney's eye begins to twitch. I couldn't have done it without the help of my team, Shepherd says earnestly. We all worked together on this one, even Polly.
1, 1, 2, 3,
the lizard bird says from the corner. Shepherd laughs wholeheartedly. You said it, little buddy, he grins, turning to look at the lizard bird. You sure said it. Everyone in the conference room, Rodney excepted, chuckles fondly. Look, Rodney hisses, I just don't understand the appeal. I mean, I ate the Fibonacci sequence for breakfast when I was 5, and Ronan wrote his dissertation on infinite series, and we've already got more mathematicians on the base than you can shake a stick at, but somehow this one guy... And, okay, have you noticed how all of a sudden all of our missions seem to involve math in some way? I mean, the mission with the ancient technology robberies that he solved with statistical analysis, and the one with the diamond lost in the fjord, where he calculated the speed of the underwater currents, and that thing where 4 people needed to cross a bridge in exactly 17 minutes, all walking at different speeds? What the hell was that? Rodney, Taylor says mildly, poking at the campfire with a stick. John is coming back now. Rodney shuts up. Shepard moves into the circle of light cast by the fire and treats everyone to a firm, kind smile. Hey, partners, what's going on? We were just discussing the case, Ronan says smoothly. The mission, Rodney mutters. Oh, yeah. You know, I've been thinking about that, and it seems to me that this case... Sorry, Rodney, this mission, MathNet habit, just doesn't add up. I think we all know what has to happen next in the mission of the missing alien princess. Taylor sits up straight. Well, straighter. And brightens visibly. The team of Marines, who were previously ignoring SGA-1's conversation, all shuffle their rocks a little closer to Shepard in anticipation. Is it? Corporal Edwards asks, eyes bright and hopeful. Are you going to... Ronan stutters. Shepard nods seriously. That's right, team. It's time to play... What do we know? And now that you've calculated the rate of continental drift and fed those numbers into the ancient weather technology, our water table might even go back to where it was before. Isn't that right, Mr. Shepard? Shepard ruffles the tow-headed youngster's mop of unruly curls. It just might, Billy. It just might. Rodney considers his options for a good 30 seconds. Yeah, no, I quit, he says, and turns to walk back to the gate. He manages to avoid Shepard for the next week or so, even if it does mean that Ronan and Taylor shoot him constant dirty looks. But Atlantis is Atlantis, so they can't avoid each other forever. And, Atlantis being Atlantis... The next time Rodney does bump into Shepard, it's not over Jell-O in the mess hall. It seems as though we're trapped in a box, Shepard pronounces, summarizing the situation. Yeah, Rodney agrees. The room is about 6x6, room enough for them to sit, but not comfortably, and not without touching. Right now, they're both standing. There are no mechanisms on the inside whatsoever, just cool, smooth walls that don't even seem to join at the edges. I was taking a transporter, Shepard continues. I guess there must have been a malfunction. Yeah, I guess, Rodney says. Then he takes a breath and adds, Me too. I was taking a transporter too. Shepard smiles at him, that big closed lips one that lights up his face. Rodney scowls. Well, we'll just have to count on our teammates to come rescue us, John replies brightly. We don't have a team together anymore, Shepard. For the first time, Shepard's big smile falters. Listen, no time like the present, and I've been meaning to ask. Ronan and Taylor have some idea that you quit the team because of me. And? Rodney crosses his arms. And I wanted to talk to you about it, buddy. Shepard looks like he desperately wants Rodney to throw him a conversational life preserver. Well, tough. So go ahead and talk, Rodney says. Just for a moment... Something passes across Shepard's face that is almost annoyance. I wanted to apologize for whatever I did to get us off on the wrong foot, and I wanted, to get you back on the team, he says haltingly. No. Shepard pauses. What? I said no. Rodney keeps his arms crossed. You, what, you can't just say no to an apology. Sure I can. But I apologized. Rodney grins smugly. What for? Shepard throws his arms in the air, more emotion than Rodney's ever seen him show, and then drops them to his sides in exasperation. Then, to Rodney's surprise, John Shepard, MathNet Golden Boy, slumps down onto the floor, his posture is horrible, for once, and pinches the bridge of his nose. "Look, Rodney, I was recruited to MathNet out of high school, okay? It's all I've ever known. And I've tried to make it work, I really have. And I try to be earnest and helpful and help kids and animals and all, just like the manual says. But I'm not..." John looks up at Rodney suddenly. "I'm not very good at it, okay? So I'm sorry." Rodney blinks. "You're not good at helping kids and animals? What the hell do you mean, the manual? Aren't you..." John rolls his eyes. Holy shit. And actually interrupts. "I'm not good at the whole thing. The clean spirits, pure hearts, love for humankind, use math to improve the human condition thing, okay? The MathNet thing. You've heard of it." Rodney hasn't, but he doesn't think this is the time to say so. "I tried on Earth, too," John continues, sighing. "I tried, but everyone thought I wasn't taking it seriously enough. They thought I was being sarcastic." This last with air quotes. And whoa, what happened to the John Shepherd that Rodney worked with for 6 weeks? "So you..." "Wait," Rodney says. "You got sent here as punishment? For not being earnest enough?" Shepherd slumps even further down against the wall. "I guess so, yeah." He looks petulant for a moment, then adds, "I don't think they like me." "Oh, Jesus," Rodney says. He's terrible at this. "I'm sure they like you fine." He doesn't even sound convincing to himself. Shepherd waves a hand. "Whatever. I thought, new planet, new galaxy, new chance. But now I guess I blew it again." Rodney sits down gingerly next to Shepherd on the floor. Their knees bump. "Look, you didn't blow it," he tries, awkwardly. Shepherd looks up at him. "I mean, we're all kind of losers here, anyway. You'll fit in fine. I should have, he coughs loudly. "I probably should have given you more of a chance or something." John brightens at that. "So you'll give it another try? Come back to the team?" Rodney says. John's looking him right in the eyes, and Rodney's always been a sucker for a pretty face. "Okay, but listen, you gotta tone down the MathNet stuff, okay? Try being a little less earnest for once." "Okay," John says slowly, as if Rodney's just suggested that he sprout wings and fly away. Then he sticks out his hand. "Partners?" Rodney, sighing, shakes it. John's grip is firm and dry, with two solid pumps and a timely release. "Partners," Rodney chokes out eventually. "What the hell? They'll find a way to make it work." It was Friday and a half, 28:19 Atlanta Standard Time. The fog was rolling in over the West Pier, and in the zoology lab, Dr. Franklin was trying to corral six goat things from PIA2G4 that kept escaping, with hilarious results. I was pulling a shift with my team, attached as liaison with the Atlantis expedition. The boss is Sam Carter. The team is SGA-1. My partner is Rodney McKay. My name is Whenever you say partner like that, it's very 90s homosexuality, Rodney interrupts. John winks at him before continuing. My partner in fighting crime and not having sex with men is Rodney McKay. Well, I wouldn't go that far. Speak for yourself, Shepard. Shepard rolls his eyes. You gonna let me finish the voiceover or what? Rodney makes a magnanimous gesture. Be my guest. My name is John Shepard. I'm a mathematician. The end.